is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my colleague Chris Riegel of the Scholar Report. Chris is the CEO of Scholar.com, with business on all the occupied continents. However, right now we're looking at one particular room in one particular city of North America. Chris attended in the gallery last night the State of the Union message from Mr. Trump. It was a lengthy presentation, 90 minutes, and there were lots of activity in the chamber. We'll attend to the large parts of the president's speech and how Chris heard them, remembering that this is about America reviving itself, making America great again, and that means prosperity. Chris, a very good evening to you. The three themes I wrote down quickly from the speech last night were the tariffs, the war in Ukraine, and the matter of what is to be done about DOGE, what DOGE is, what it's achieved so far. Let's begin with the tariffs. They started yesterday. Much excitement in the markets about Canada and Mexico in particular. Not so much about China, where the response was said by the FT to be muted. When the president came to the tariffs part, was the room cheering? Was it sitting in silence, aware of the turmoil in the markets? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. The room was certainly trying to distill through what that tariff strategy is. You have on the Republican side a group of free traders who are typically not aligned with tariffs. But Mr. Trump, I think, broke it down into a easy to understand point of parity. If China taxes our vehicles 100%, we should tax theirs 100%. So I think it was looked at in parity. Mr. Trump also spent a lot of time talking about the new investments in the Honda facility in Indiana and others, where you see foreign companies, specifically Japanese as an example, building new infrastructure in the United States as a way to go around tariffs. But I think that strategy to say maybe using tariffs as the anvil and the hammer to building new plants here is a way to improve investment in America.
About the tariffs in Mexico, I don't have particular information about Canada right now, although they're in an election cycle and so things are very tense in any event. And there will be a new leader of the Liberal Party, and there will be a general election, presumably, in the spring. But in Mexico, there's a new president. And I see that, according to the approval polling this morning, Claudia Sheinbaum now enjoys 85% approval rating, which is astonishing. However, these tariffs, because Mexico is the number one trading partner with the U.S. and vice versa, these tariffs would badly damage the economy. Reuters estimating a negative 4% to the GDP if the tariffs stay. And that's why I mentioned this headline, Canada-Mexico tariff compromise could come this afternoon. This is from the Secretary of Commerce, Mr. Lutnick. So there's a lot of negotiating going on that we can't speak to. I want to then turn away from tariffs to the war. This has been a focus of interest in Europe for these last days and continues with the surprising announcement from Germany that they're going to go forward and discard the debt brake that they've imposed on themselves since the recession and start borrowing to build defense, to build infrastructure, and to grow the economy. That sounds like good news, and it comes after the unhappiness in the Oval Office. Are these things linked? Did the president mention the Oval Office linkage?
The president mentioned the new letter he received from President Zelensky yesterday, apparently just before the speech, about trying to resolve the issue. I believe there's certainly rumors in the halls about some deal to not only stop the war, but to then turn the Nord Stream pipelines back on to Germany to get energy, going back to the Germans. So the German economy is in a spiral of trouble without cheaper Russian energy. So I believe now that you're starting to see that pragmatism to cut a deal. Not everyone's going to like it. It's not going to be a great deal for any side, but to get a deal done to close off the war, stop the fighting, and be able to bring energy back to Germany as an essential. Otherwise, you're going to have just a cascading economic problem there that won't be easily solved.
Yes, men stop killing themselves doesn't move markets, but Germany moves markets when it takes away that debt break, which is why the Schultz government failed. Also, Claudia Sheinbaum's approval rating gives her a lot of leverage, but she needs America as America needs her country. She knows this. However, I go to the story of Nord Stream and Nord Stream 2 and Nord Stream 1. Reopening that is a surprise. Mr. Putin wants it. This is the kind of horse trading that makes sense. What was the sense of the chamber? Did the Republicans find a surprise about Nord Stream 2? That takes us back to the beginning, to the Biden administration, when they changed their mind about endorsing Nord Stream.
John, I think the chamber knows that President Trump is a negotiator above and beyond all. And with the Nord Stream 2 discussions or rumors, putting that grand bargain together to try to find ways to both stop the war and then rebuild the economy, because obviously Ukraine has interest in gas, Russian gas passing through their territory to Europe as well. So I think there's some grand bargain out there to be struck. I was very fascinated to hear from multiple congressmen and senators who were in the discussions how the blow up between Trump and Zelensky was very much a double cross from President Zelensky as to what had been agreed to previously. So some stagecraft there, but now clearly something that's blown up and circled back. And now maybe you actually have a shot at peace.
Doge, I believe that Mr. Musk was in the gallery. I saw a picture of him wearing a blue tie. There's Supreme Court news about paying through the projects that are underway for USAID, $2 billion, which is a small piece of a large amount at USAID. Doge is considered a positive in America. Was it a positive last night when mentioned in the chamber?
John, it was extremely popular with the Republicans and with much of the galley. The Democrats were shooting daggers towards Mr. Musk, all pointing out to him in the galley and holding signs of protest. But I would say he might be in excess of President Trump, the most unpopular man in D.C., but certainly the work that he's doing is being seen throughout the government as changing the landscape dramatically.
And how do your clients hear Doge?
John, I think it's part of this bigger trend on bringing some responsibility and some supervision back to government spending. In the business world, we're all aware of that $36 trillion deficit because that impacts interest rates and portends a huge, dramatic economic challenge in the future. It's good to now see a team of people attacking that problem, attacking government spending and saying, look, we're going to have to tighten the belt and we have to reduce spending and we're going to have to take some cuts that are going to be painful and not everyone's going to like. But if we don't do that, the economic fallout will be incredibly bad for the country and for the world. So it's better to take that medicine now than later.
The Democrats were clearly unhappy, but you tell me there were tech bros there. Is that something new, tech bros attending a Republican president's speech?
John, Silicon Valley on the whole is center left, but you're seeing a warming to the Republicans from the tech bros because they see opportunity again. When President Trump opened the speech about saying we're America and we're back, that plays very, very well in the Valley, which is about new ideas and growing and opportunity. So the opportunity message is resonating, and those are very, very powerful allies, as Mr. Biden learned in the earlier election.
Chris Riegel, a CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm. I'm John Batchelor.